I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's March 19th, and we have a lot to talk about. But before we get into today's episode, I want to remind you that tomorrow, Wednesday, March 20th, I'll be hosting a live webcast featuring three of the experts who presented their research last month at the ACTRIMS Forum. ACTRIMS is an acronym for the America's Committee for Treatment and Research in Multiple Sclerosis, and I have to agree with many of the people who attended that this year's forum was particularly outstanding. During tomorrow's webcast, you'll learn about a potential cause of central nervous system inflammation in multiple sclerosis, and you'll hear about cutting-edge research that's focused on repairing myelin that's been damaged in MS. Myelin repair means restoring lost function, and I know that's something a lot of you are seriously interested in. And you can rest assured that the conversations we're going to have during the webcast are going to be in easy-to-understand English. The live webcast takes place tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and you'll find the registration link for that webcast in today's show notes. The ACTRIMS Forum is a platform for reporting out the results of research studies. But to get to those results, a lot has to happen. And I thought it might be interesting to introduce you to two people who decided to participate in a research study. It's a study that we've actually talked about before on this podcast, and I wanted to let these two participants share their impressions of this particular study, along with their feelings about more broadly participating in MS research. My guests today are Chiquita Shepherd-Knight and Earl Sneed, and they're joining me to share their experiences as participants in the TEAMS study, a research study at the University of Illinois Chicago's UI Health in conjunction with the University of Alabama Birmingham School of Public Health. But before we get to my conversation with Chiquita and Earl, there are a few other things that you should know about. Just 2 weeks ago, 170 MS activists from across the country came together at the National MS Society's Public Policy Conference in Washington, D.C. This annual event features 2 days during which attendees hear from legislative experts along with members of the MS Society's advocacy staff as they take a deep dive into the legislative issues that the Society has prioritized. These 2 days are followed by Hill Day, the day that attendees spend on Capitol Hill, sharing their personal stories about living with MS, discussing the issues with their elected officials, illustrating how a particular piece of legislation will impact people with MS, and asking for their support. The two legislative priorities that were the focus of this year's public policy conference were requesting $20 million in federal funding for the MS research program and asking Congress to extend support for telehealth. Telehealth has proven to be one of the very few silver linings of the pandemic. Since 2020, Congress, along with both the Trump and Biden administrations, has acted to significantly increase access to telehealth by waiving restrictions and broadening which services can be covered. As a result, patients and healthcare providers have embraced telehealth. Telehealth can help address disparities in healthcare access, making specialized care more easily available in rural communities as well as underserved urban areas. And it's been shown to be an effective mode of treatment for people living with MS, many of whom face challenges just getting to an appointment with their neurologist. But many of the provisions that have made telehealth a success are set to expire at the end of this year. The Connect for Health Act would permanently extend telehealth access for millions of seniors and people living with disabilities who rely on Medicare. And as we hit Capitol Hill, MS activists asked their elected officials to co-sponsor the Connect for Health Act. The morning of Hill Day, I connected with Sarah Quezada, an MS activist from Southern California, and I'll offer a quick apology about the audio quality you're about to hear. The room we were in was packed with people, And I've done my best in the post-production process to eliminate the background noise and isolate our voices. So these brief conversations may sound a little strange in places. Hill Day started with breakfast when Sarah and I briefly spoke about what was going through her mind as she was preparing to head to Capitol Hill.
I'm talking with Sarah Quezada, and actually I'm going to be tagging along with Sarah and her partner on the Hill, Kara Barton. For the first couple of meetings as we hit the Hill on Hill Day for the Public Policy Conference, Sarah, how are you feeling about visiting with our elected representatives today?
I'm really, really excited. I'm always so excited for PPC and Hill Day especially.
What are your goals as you go into each office?
I just want to go in and share my story of how we need the funding of the MSRP and especially telehealth expansion because it helps so many people have access to their doctors.
So some of our listeners may not be able to decipher MSRP. You want to explain what that is?
Yeah, the MSRP is only federal funding for MS research.
It's actually administered through the Department of Defense budget. There are over 70,000 service members who've been diagnosed with MS. So the DoD has taken a real interest in funding what they consider high risk, high reward kinds of projects.
Yeah, it funds projects that wouldn't normally probably get funded in like a typical healthcare way.
I'm looking forward to our first meeting, and I'm looking forward to recapping that with you after.
Our first legislative office visit was with Representative Nanette Barragán's office. Right after that meeting, I circled back with Sarah to get her reaction.
So my team just came out of our first meeting of the day with Representative Nanette Barragán's office. Representative Barragán happens to be my congressional representative in Southern California. And Sarah, what are your thoughts about our meeting?
I thought we had a really good meeting. It was well received, and we shared our reasons why we would like support on the two issues that we have. And her office was very positive in return, and also shared the personal story of the congresswoman family and why it would be beneficial to her as well.
The congresswoman's aide shared with us that she had always supported the issues that we were talking about. And so gaining that support this year seemed to be something that was going to happen. All the meetings don't always go this way, but it was nice to start off like that, wasn't it?
It really was. You always want to go in with a positive attitude. And when they agree, it's just so exciting.
Next, our team met with Representative Norma Torres's office. And here's the quick conversation I had with Sarah following that meeting.
We have had another pretty wonderful meeting with Representative Norma Torres's office, actually an office that Sarah and I got to visit a year ago. Sarah, what were your impressions of our conversation with her aide?
I thought it went really great. At first, we asked him how much time we had, and he said we could take our time. So it was really nice just to have a solid conversation and not have to just do the bullet points, to get across real fast and then be like, hi, can you support these? Okay, bye.
Representative Torres is on the Appropriations Committee, and this week and then next week are the two biggest weeks of the year for appropriations, as it turns out. So their office is buzzing, but they could not have been more hospitable and really more tuned in to the meeting itself. Her aide reminded us that he actually had a good friend whose brother lived with progressive MS. And Sarah reminded him that she knew that Representative Torres' neighbor lived with MS.
Yeah, it was really nice to just have those personal connections. When I was sharing my story of living with MS, knowing that her office is also familiar with other people who have had MS.
So far, our team is batting 1,000, I would say, and we're making good connections, and the offices so far have been so receptive to our asks.
For me, the most inspirational part of Hill Day is seeing all of the activists arriving back at the hotel at the end of what I know is a high-energy day on Capitol Hill. reading the smiles on their faces, seeing the high fives being exchanged, and sensing the success that everyone is feeling. It's a unique blend of victory and exhaustion that serves as the perfect ending to an extraordinary day. ECTRIMS, which is an acronym for the European Committee for Treatment and Research in Multiple Sclerosis, is the host of the largest MS research conference in the world. And when I visited the 39th annual ECTRIMS Congress this past fall, I sat down for short video interviews with some of the experts who were presenting at the conference. Once I got back from the conference, the folks at iConquer MS recruited some people who were living with MS, and we asked them to watch each of the video interviews and then share their reactions with me. Since we're right in the middle of MS Awareness Month, I've posted this video series on the Real Talk MS YouTube channel. It's an opportunity for you to hear from experts on managing comorbidities and MS, the connection between exercise and cognitive improvement in people with MS, how AI is impacting MS treatment, and more. And you'll also hear what other people living with MS think about these developments and these specific conversations. I want to thank the folks at Sanofi for making this series of short videos possible, and you'll find links to each of the videos in today's show notes. Speaking of videos, if you missed the International Progressive MS Alliance global webcast on emerging treatments for progressive MS, the video replay is now available. It's an opportunity for you to hear from the experts about the current state of treatments for progressive MS, active clinical trials that may provide new solutions, and research efforts to develop breakthrough treatments to ultimately end MS progression. You'll find a link to that video in today's show notes. When I interview someone about a research study, I usually end up talking with the scientist, the principal investigator of the study. But I want to switch things up a bit, so today I'm talking with Chiquita Shepherd-Knight and Earl Sneed, who are participants in the TEAMS study, which is a research study at the University of Illinois Chicago's UI Health in conjunction with the University of Alabama Birmingham School of Public Health. TEAMS is an acronym for Targeted Exercise for African Americans with Multiple Sclerosis, and the study's research team is looking at the effects of a remotely delivered, racially tailored exercise training program among African Americans with MS who are living in low-income areas of the southeastern United States, including Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Tennessee. This is a part of the country that doesn't have many primary care or MS clinics that provide full exercise and rehabilitation services for people living with MS. And the TEAMS study consists of two different 16-week exercise programs that are completed 3 days each week at home. One exercise program consists of both aerobic and resistance training exercises, while the other program focuses on stretching and flexibility. Study participants are randomly assigned to one of the two programs, and all of the materials to complete each program, like yoga mats, resistance bands, and training manuals, are all provided. Every study participant receives a $90 gift card in compensation for completing the program. The study's research team's hypothesis is that completing the TEAMS program will improve walking, decrease symptoms of fatigue, anxiety, depression, and pain, while enhancing quality of life. In a moment, we'll meet my guests, Chiquita Shepherd-Knight and Earl Sneed. Chiquita, Earl, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, nice to be here.
Chiquita, I'm going to start with you first. Tell me, when were you diagnosed with MS?
May 2004.
And are you currently on any disease-modifying therapy?
Yes, I'm currently on Ocrevus. Just got put on Ocrevus, as a matter of fact. About to take my second 6 months dose coming up in a handful of weeks.
So how did you initially find out about the study, and what motivated you to participate?
Well, I'm constantly trying to stay in the know, so to speak, and I'm always Googling, reading the magazines that I subscribe to and other things. And this particular day, I was Googling and ran across it in my search for various MS things. And I read about it and I was like, oh, that sounds interesting, quite interesting. And I was intrigued. So I reached out and was contacted. It was the one-on-one discussion. I was like, yes, indeed, this is something that I would like to partake in, you know, be a part of.
And what about you, Earl? When were you diagnosed with MS?
Yes, I was diagnosed in September of 2020 during the pandemic. It was a week after my 36th birthday, but I had been experiencing symptoms probably 2 to 3 years prior to that. But new diagnosis at the height of the pandemic, it was a lot going on whenever I found out.
Oh, there sure was. That was a rough time to need any sort of healthcare treatment, wasn't it?
Definitely was. Finding out you have this new diagnosis and also trying to live healthy at a time where everyone's afraid of going outside and going to general public places. That was a lot to kind of take in.
So how about you? Are you currently on any disease modifying therapy?
I actually just finished the second year of Mavenclad. So I haven't started anything else. I responded pretty well to Mavenclad the first year, and I'm hoping to respond pretty well to the second year as well.
Well, that's great. And how did you first hear about the study, and what made you want to participate?
I wanted to be out in the forefront in terms of learning everything I could about MS. I watch your show every week, but I received an email from the MS Society asking for African Americans living in the South. I live in Texas, dealing with this diagnosis, but also wanted to get involved in an exercise program. I'm a former athlete, so exercise is something I love to do. So I thought it was something I could naturally get into. I took part in the questionnaire and I qualified for it. So it was something I definitely wanted to get involved in.
So Chiquita, let me ask you, are you currently in the study or have you already completed your 16 weeks?
I just completed not long ago.
And which program were you on? Was it the aerobic and resistance training or was it the stretching and flexibility program?
Aerobic and
the resistance training.
Resistance, right. Yes. Yeah. See, my MS brain, MS.
That's a mouthful. So let me ask you, how long was each exercise session that you did, and what kind of exercises were you doing?
Well, it varied from week to week. It had a schedule that you had to follow from the first week to the end, and it told you how many minutes to do on the various exercises and when to transition to a new exercise or new minute time frame
within that
schedule.
Okay. And Earl, have you completed your 16 weeks yet?
I'm actually headed into week 16 next week. So this was week 15. I'm looking forward to wrapping it up next week, but I will continue to do the same program after I finish it.
And which program were you on? Were you also doing aerobic and resistance training?
Yes, similar to Chiquita, my coach, Victoria, I want to give her a shout out. Dr. Victoria Flores, she's awesome. I was doing resistance and also the aerobics training, the walks, and I found that I get more strength from the resistance, which kind of empowers me to do the aerobics. So I do the resistance 3 days a week, and I do the aerobics on Tuesday, Thursdays.
And Earl, what was the most positive aspect of participating in this study for you?
Seeing the results. When I first started the aerobic exercises, I was only doing 6-minute walks before I started to get foot drop. But I worked my way up to now I'm doing 37, 38 minute walks. And a lot of that came from strengthening my body during the resistance exercise. So seeing the results, and also, like Chiquita said, you add more exercises that you do on the resistance every week. So going from doing 7, 8 exercises to doing 9 and 10 by the end of it. But you start doing like your 5 core exercises, and you kind of progress throughout the program. And seeing the results of all of that as you progress through the program is the most gratifying thing.
Well, that would definitely seem to be the case. So you really saw, you've experienced a change in how well you're doing, how well you're walking.
Absolutely. I have better stability. I have better endurance and better strength overall, I would say.
And what about you, Chiquita? What was the most positive aspect of participating in the study for you?
The most positive was the weight loss of the inches for me. I had a side effect from my previous MS medication that caused me to have some thyroid issues. And I had not long prior to running across that program picked up a lot of weight from because of the thyroid. And I was struggling with trying to lose that weight on my own. So when I ran across the program, it was right on time for me and worked out well that I could partner with them, help myself, and having the one-on-one coach. And again, Victoria, that was the best, you know, ending up with her as the coach. She is phenomenal. And the walks, because I was an avid walker prior to and earlier on in my MS journey, and doing the walks and gradually being able to build myself back up with that, with the aerobics, it was a world of difference. And even on rainy days or days that I was not able to go out, I have a peddler, so I was able to modify and use my peddler for my aerobics still, to not get my steps in so much, but get my pedals in to still, you know, make my minutes and, you know, not miss a beat.
So it sounds like you've experienced some real benefit from this weight loss as as you're walking better, it sounds like.
Yes. Unlike Earl, I don't have actual foot drop, but I may start off walking fine, but I get where I get a little limp or, you know, whatever may develop with it. And I have to stop and rest and hold on to furniture or wall for some stability issue. I do have the full gamut of equipment, you know, cane, walker, rollator, and all of that, everything other than a wheelchair. But I'm independent currently.
Well, that's really fantastic. I'm just curious. I'll ask you first, Chiquita. Did you have any sort of negative experiences while you were involved in the study?
No, probably the only negative thing was bad weather days. You couldn't go outside to, you know, exercise really. But no, it was wonderful, really, from start to finish. And again, it was gradual working up to the full gamut of the maximum minutes in the whole region. And I wasn't an athlete like Earl, but I, you know, tried to keep myself healthy and, you know, fit, so to speak. So I wasn't a stranger to it, but still, it took a little, and especially with the weight that I had gained. So it was challenging to, you know, jump in there, but I stayed the course, and I could see, you know, for a woman, you know, when you see that inch or, you know, see that dress come on just a little better, it does something to you. So, yeah, it made me feel wonderful.
So based on your experience, would you consider participating in a future research study?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No doubt.
Now, how about you, Earl? Were there any negative experiences that you saw during the study?
Not at all. Everything was positive on my end. I feel like I grew physically, strength-wise, and I felt like mentally, once you know that you can do it, that kind of increases your awareness of how you can push yourself to the limits. So I felt like everything was positive on my end.
And based on that experience, would you consider participating in future research studies?
Absolutely. I'll be the first one to sign up.
Definitely. So I think I can almost guess the answer to this question, Earl, but what advice would you give someone who might be considering participating in a research study?
I would say absolutely do it. Take ownership of your disease and how you can battle it. I heard someone say on your podcast previously that they have MS, but MS doesn't have them. And I think if you take that mentality into participating in a study like this, then you can take ownership of your disease and you can also take ownership in combating your disease or your symptoms.
And Chiquita, same question. What advice would you share with someone who might be on the fence about participating in research?
Again, don't hesitate. You know, certainly do your due diligence and learn all of the various avenues and information about what you're about to consider participating in. But without a doubt, 9 times out of 10, it would be certainly beneficial for you, and be your own advocate for yourself and don't sell yourself short, because certainly the benefits outweigh any of the negatives with what's attached with it. And you can see the rainbow on the other end of it, and you would not be regretting it. You may regret the fact that you did not make the choice to participate.
Well, Chiquita Shepherd Knight and Earl Sneed, I want to thank you for volunteering your time and participating in research that may improve the quality of life for everyone living with MS. You did everyone a huge service. And thanks so much for talking with me today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/342. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or a text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.